Adhyantimanasya Kyanana Sarakya Shakshurun Nitam Nina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitana Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapanantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Sagarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Varita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shri He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatruvi Cha Kipasnruvi Vacha Pavitanam Pavanivyo Vaisnavivyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Stalam Stiti Shurikatam Dalam Manubir Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated. He said that one should simply stay in the place where he is, and then take up Krishna consciousness in that situation. One should not artificially take on any position because there is a risk of not being able to maintain that position. So better stay in a condition, even if it is, in a sense, very much entangled with material nature. And therefore, a distraction from directly focusing on Krishna. That is, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told a brahmana in South India who wanted to give up his family life and who wanted to join him on his journey through the south. And that brahmana is saying that, no, but I will come, I must come. How can I stay at home? Just stay at home, but the risk is that I will become covered over. That I will forget. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amra agyai guru hai tare edesh. That whomever you meet, you shall instruct them about Krishna or Krishna upadesh, the instructions of Krishna. And in this way, you shall deliver the entire land. So, it wasn't just stay at home and sort of chant your rounds in front of the TV and, and just try your level best to follow everything as good as you can, whatever that means. Usually the word, when someone says, I'll try, it basically means, I'm not going to do it. That's, if you think about it, that's what it means. So, that's where it's at. And of course, once upon a time, the Hare Krishna movement was like army boot camp. It was rigorous, it was intense. They didn't give you an inch. There was always someone pushing for more surrender. I remember a Sankirtan leader who took the new devotee by the neck and started shaking him and said, "When will you surrender?" When I saw that, I stopped surrendering right there, to be honest. And I went somewhere else because I thought, this is over the top. This is way over the top. So possibly some fanaticism crept in. Then times changed. The mid-80s arrived and a whole new era began. Whereas previously, when I joined, I was a white spot in an ocean of saffron. Because somehow or other I was already with ladies before. What to do? So it happened. So when I came, I was in white and all the others were in saffron and they looked upon me like second-class citizen. You know, you fallen low, lusty, and householder. But we are merciful. So we will tolerate you. Of course, you know, now they are all white. The times have changed, because now it's a saffron speck, you know, the last of the Mohicans, right? The last of the Mohicans in an ocean of white. You know? there was a social development conference in India quite some years back, but it was an interesting one because they had members of different ashrams speaking, and when the Grihasthas, they spoke, ladies spoke about chanting rounds in corridors, and the husbands mentioned the second-class citizen syndrome. When the brahmachari spoke, they said, "We have a problem because people say the statistics are against you. We don't feel protected." That was their point. So everybody had a point. The Vamaprastha, I know what he said. He said, "I have an identity crisis. I don't exist." So it was a good conference, really. I liked it. It was kind of... And there was a sannyasi from Sweden who lived in a house without electricity, which in Sweden is pretty renounced, you know, because it's a long, dark winter. So, indeed, we saw some interesting demonstrations of what spiritual life was like, and, but anyway, and then, in the early days, there was such a thing as there were devotees and demons, right? It was very simple. And devotees live in the temple, and demons live outside. And that solved that matter. It was crystal clear that there was no space for the mental platform. Everything was kind of very clear in those days. But then something happened, you know, that some devotees, they moved out and they again became demons. So that was very shocking, that devotees would again become demons. But then the real problem happened, that these devotees who were turned into demons, they started to come to the Sunday feast. What are you going to do with them now, you know? Back into the material world, what are you doing here, you know? I mean, we don't want you here. But they stayed, you know, being strongly addicted to prasadam. So nothing could deter them, you know. Once you've had the taste, You can't give it up. So they came every Sunday, and eventually they got a new name. They were then not three demons anymore, they were fringes. Then we had fringes, which was something even worse than a grihasta, you know? I mean, a fringy, oh my God. It's like fringes. You didn't talk with fringes, but anyway, they were, you give them a plate of prasad. That was about it. But then at one point, I remember that day. One day, there are more of them than of us.
And then,
then, when we were outnumbered, right? Then suddenly, one day, someone with a university degree, obviously, you know, redefined ISKCON, and suddenly it was, there is the greater ISKCON and the regular ISKCON, and suddenly the greater ISKCON became the ISKCON, and suddenly all the fringes were like normal members of the Hare Krishna movement, and suddenly we who stayed in the temple were the fanatics. And not only that, mostly people who were socially dysfunctional. The guys who couldn't get it together. The losers. Anyways. So, this was a little bit of ISKCON history for you, in a nutshell. With all that, in a sense, nothing has changed. Still, there is the unique opportunity to return back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world, this lifetime. And basically, that is the mission, that is the opportunity. Of course, nothing has changed. Nothing. Everything is still the same as it was when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, performing his pastimes in Vrindavan. When Krishna was stealing butter and yogurt from the houses of all the residents in Vrindavan, and all of them complained to Mother Yasoda, and Mother Yasoda could not believe such things when she saw the innocent face of her son. No, this cannot be true. But one day she caught him red-handed when Krishna was there with a broken pot of yogurt, surrounded by monkeys. Just then, she came in. And now I have caught you, you rascal. Oh, mother, I came in here and the monkeys had just thrown this pot down. I came to chase them away. It wasn't convincing. Mother Yasoda was not at all convinced. So she wanted to punish him and chased him with a stick and so on. And of course, she never wanted to beat him, but just scare him. But then she scared him too much. She scared him too much. And he became very afraid. And then at one point, she said, yes, you are such a friend of the monkeys, you know. Giving all this butter and yogurt to the monkeys, you know. I will treat you like a monkey. Then Krishna said, well, you know, if you treat me like this, then I'll go and live with the monkeys. Then she became very afraid. Then she became very afraid that he would really do it, because he looked very serious about it. And therefore she decided to tie him up, which didn't work. She tried, but that didn't work. The rope was too short, two fingers, and it came to a point where she was like taking a ribbon from her hair, and with that, you know, she tried to extend the cord, and then, you know, the neighbors were coming and they were looking at the fun, and then they brought more silken ropes from their houses, and Mother Yasoda sent everyone to bring all the rope of Vrindavan, but it remained two fingers short until she captured Vrindavan, until she captured Krishna in the end with her endeavor, and by his mercy. So nothing has changed, nothing has changed. Still, the very same condition as 5,000 years ago, the same two fingers still are there today. The finger for our personal endeavor and the finger for Krishna's mercy. That can capture Krishna. And that's what's happening now. And we can, if we want to. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter where we are. We don't have to stay in the temple. If you really don't want to, I mean, yesterday I invited you all, but it wasn't very successful. So I guess I have to today come up with another approach. That strategy kind of failed. So today the strategy is don't worry. Don't worry, you know. Stay at home. Is it authorized? Yes, it is. Stam stitam shutikatam vanamalibi. It is fine. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sanctioned it. But the endeavor can be no less. When the endeavor becomes weak, then we'll never capture Krishna. And that would be such a waste. Then there's a chance that we'll also become one of the monkeys. Right, and so on. No, that would not be desirable. We have to capture Krishna, because if it's not Krishna, then what will it be? If we don't make a very serious endeavor, then what will it be? Then sooner or later we fall prey to the lower nature, which is there. And then comes a moment of weakness. And, oops. Jeez, got out of hand. What to do now? I never expected that this would happen. But it begins with poor endeavor. So the endeavor is required. But it's so hard to endeavor. It's so difficult to endeavor. On our own, Who is a self-starter? Who is self-motivated? Very few. Who actually has inner conviction to just be serious on his own? Without checking balance, without anyone looking. Who can chant really attentive rounds all by himself? It's much easier when you're in a group and everyone else is seeing how attentively you're chanting your rounds. Hey, chanting serious rounds is a great devotee. They are seeing it. Hey, they're filming it. It will be on Facebook too. Very serious. Very serious. So, who doesn't need that Facebook association and support in a spiritual life? It's like that. It's not just possible without, all by yourself. All by yourself. Who chants serious rounds by himself? Someone in his room every day chanting all alone. But it's a tape recorder that's changed. what can I do? It's difficult. It's just so difficult to be motivated all alone, and then all the time. That is the difficulty. But family life means we are not alone. Then the whole family, yes, then the whole family. How nice was Vrindavan. How sweet it was before the evil eye of television entered. That ugly blue light that came out of every window, it was never there before. How nice was it to just walk through Vrindavan? You could go anywhere. And in every house, there was kirtan. Every house, at night, they were chanting. Everywhere, all over, just the whole town. And everywhere, kirtan, kirtan, kirtan. How nice it was. Thus, then, once television came, then, that changed. That changed. So, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that. I always chant long before I speak, because it's then the transcendental atmosphere is there, see, for everyone. Then we are on the transcendental platform. Then maybe Krishna will enter into our discussion. It just doesn't come without endeavor. Then maybe some mercy will benefit. So this is the principle. Yes, there are many things we can do that we don't do. We can live together. Many people can move into the same neighborhood, try, or in the same security complex. 20 devotee families in one security complex. Then it starts to happen. Then it becomes quite transcendental. I've made the proposal many times, and I'll do it again tonight, that there is a simple program where you don't have to cook more than once a month. How about that? Cooking, it's a lot of work. Right? Every day, again, cooking. Oh. No, not required. You have to cook only once a month. It takes only 30 families. And once a month, you invite all the other families, the other 29. Right? And you cook a feast, and you have to really cook that day. Right? And the rest of the months, you go and eat in other people's houses, and they have the feast. So you get a feast every day, you get kirtan every day, and association every day, and you have to cook only once a month. Good program. It takes only 30 families. Can be done. Very practical. I tell you. But somehow or other, people have many times heard this idea from me, but no group has ever done it to me. That's a good idea. And not only that, I would come also. I was a feast, you know. So, that would be really nice. We could start the experiment in Cape Town and stay a whole month for that. Could be very nice. In that way, so many things can be done if we want to. But it does take that. Because that is always there. That was there with Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda had the best conditions you can imagine. Right? Her husband happened to be a pure devotee. That helps. Right? Most husbands, whatever they are, they are They're okay, but they're not on the level of Nanda Maharaj. You know what I mean? Right? I mean, who has a husband on the level of Nanda Maharaj? So, Nanda Maharaj, her husband, a pure devotee. So she couldn't complain about association. Right? And in fact, the whole village, the whole town where she lived, you know, there happened to be all devotees in the neighborhood. It's only devotees living in that neighborhood. There were no commies on the block, actually. So it was quite a neighborhood. And her husband was a pure devotee. And, you know, I mean, even the cows were extraordinary, you know, like surabis and all that, you know. Trees, you know, like, were ecstatic because they were Kalpataru's wish-fulfilling desire trees. So she had quite a package, right? Quite a package, if you think about it, you know. I mean, somehow or other, you could say, Yasoda did pretty good for herself. But at the end, even Yasoda, in spite of all of that, right, still had to make the endeavor. She had to make the endeavor. So that is a fundamental principle. And why is it so? Why is it so? It is so because Krishna doesn't want to force us. See, if Krishna wants, he could go like, snap his fingers and the whole world would be, tears start like streaming from our eyes. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Just like that, at the snap of his fingers, he doesn't even need to snap. He just has to desire it, and we would all be crying tears in love of God, suddenly. What came over me? I don't know where it came from. Suddenly it happened. If Krishna desires, every living being will be ecstatic. Even the animals. We saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jarikanda. Made animals do amazing things. They were like in love of God. Deers and tigers embracing and kissing in ecstasy, and elephants like tooting their horns, their trunks in ecstasy, dancing. The whole forest was just beyond themselves. Pakku pasi jure pasana vidane, that the birds, even the birds, when they chant, they also go back to Godhead. And the Pasana Vidara, the stones start melting in ecstasy. So it is said. So all these things are certainly within the realm of possibility when the mercy of the Supreme Lord is there. But why? Why didn't I ever see any stones melting? Did you? I never saw stones melting, stones and stones in their heart, melting. I haven't seen. I have heard, but I have not seen. Where are those devotees that are rolling on the ground in love of God? Where are they? Why is it so difficult? Why doesn't it happen automatically? Why isn't it so you say Hare Krishna and the next day you have love of God? Why isn't it so that after one day chanting 16 rounds that everything is ecstatic immediately? Why not? Why do we have to struggle so hard? Why? Because Krishna wants it to come from us, not from his side. He will give us a little reminder every once in a while, that he will do. He'll throw some sand in the sweet rice. He'll give you a bit of a frustrating material experience. So to say, yes, yes, I want Krishna consciousness. I definitely want it. Yes. And he will give you. But it's not just going to give us ecstasy. We have to go and get it. We have to go and earn it. He's waiting. He wants to give it. He's got it ready. He's got it already. Your dose of ecstasy, he's got it ready. But we've got to go and get it. The nectar is there, but we got to dig for it. Deep. That's what it takes. And sit there for hours and hours chanting, and giving out mercy to others. Oh yeah, not just ourselves, me and my spiritual life, or me and my wife and our spiritual life, and for the dog, the cat, and the canary as well. But the neighbors can go to hell. No, everybody included. So, like that, we must endeavor. Krishna's waiting for that. And just when we've made, when he's satisfied with that endeavor, then no limit to the mercy. Narada Muni, son of the maidservant, the rainy season, in India, rainy season, rains buckets all the time, and then, sages don't travel, stay in one place, the Bhaktivedantas, great elevated souls, stayed in their house for 4 months, amazing. His mother alone, a maidservant with a son, but they stayed there. And the boy was serving them. She arranged to stay very much in the background, Vedic cultures. Sent the boy to serve them. They liked him very much. And with their permission, he had the remnants. And they told him how to meditate, how to do everything. Then they left, and he was back alone with his mother. Shortly after, early in the morning, when his mother went out to milk the cow, she never knew what bit her, but it was a snake who crept up and just bit her in the leg. That was her disappearance day. And subsequently, the 5-year-old boy was alone. But because of the transcendental instructions of these great saintly personalities, that boy had become so transcendental that he decided to take it as Krishna's mercy. He said, okay, Krishna's plan, Krishna's mercy. Now I am alone. So he went into the forest and he sat down under a tree and meditated. And then something extraordinary happened. As he sat down, suddenly he saw the Lord. His eyes were closed and he saw the Lord. And then, when he saw that image of the Lord, it kind of shocked him, and he opened his eyes, and then the Lord was really there. So then he became overwhelmed. He's seeing the Lord face to face, and next moment, the Lord disappeared. Because he was only 5 years old, that was too much, and then he lost his temper, what is this? Now he disappears. So and then the Lord, in reciprocation, came back to pacify him and said, "Don't be angry, don't worry." He said, "Don't worry. You will see me again, but first you have to do something. This life you will not see me anymore, but at the end of this life, if you endeavor sincerely, you will attain perfection, and then you will see me." So yes, that's it, We have everything. We have Yasoda, she had Vrindavan. We have ISKCON, we have temples, a whole network, wherever. Yasoda, she had Nanda Maharaj. Well, we have Prabhupada and his followers. You know, Yasoda had a whole neighborhood. Yeah, we have a movement, a huge movement. God, you know so many people, isn't it? Over the years, you know, I mean, I know so many people, so it's like, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, how many devotees I know. I'm not short of social life. I mean, a bit of an overdose of social life sometimes. So in this way, everything is provided. Everything is there. But somewhere, we think something is lacking. But the only thing that is really lacking is our conviction to make an endeavor. That is the only thing that's lacking in our situation. Leave everything. I always point somewhere outside. This is lacking, that is lacking. This is not enough. Krishna has sent us everything we need. Everything. It's all there. Yeah, so, folks, there's no need to move into the temple ever. Just stay at home. Stay at home, you know, nice and cozy, comfy, everything there, whatever you need, you know, exactly the way you like it, because that's the good thing about home. I know all about it. See, I'm a traveler, and I always stay in guest rooms. So sometimes the blanket is too short, and then it's a whole night, a fight between my feet and my neck. You know? Serious. And other times, you know, the blanket is too thick, you know. And it's just like, I'm in the tropics, you know. All night, it's like, all night, I'm like, I'm melting, you know. Other times, the blanket is too thin, and I put on my coat at night, you know, to kind of save myself from pneumonia. That's when you stay in guest rooms, right? Because it's not adapted to you, you know, like your house. Everything is like, you know, my favorite blanket, the one, you know, my blanket. Everything is like, the whole house is like that, you know. And daddy's chair, you know. It fits, you know. Everything is designed, the whole house. Comfort. It's all just the way I like it. And after 30 years, finally your wife knows how to cook exactly the way you like it. It's good. So stay at home. No problem. But somehow or other, let's make that home extraordinary place. Yedine Griete Bhajana Deki Griete Goloka Bhaya. That day that in the house Krishna is worshipped, that day Golok will manifest in that house. So let us do that. Then let us worship Krishna. And if we do, everything will become really sweet and ecstatic with time. I'm done. Okay, that was it for tonight. Thank you very much. So I'm going to send you all home. No, we can stay. Trying new tactics. Sorry. No, but we can stay. Now they all want to stay. Any questions?
It's not really related to the lecture.
But we'll see what happens.
Okay. Raj, within our hearts is the Paramatma, and as philosophy goes, and our sampradaya, we don't deal with the Paramatma, we deal But when we see other people, the humble sage with true knowledge, Sri Prabhupada sees that Krishna is in everybody's heart. Do we see the Paramatma or Krishna? Do you just see what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, we see both. We see Paramatma in everyone's heart. But we know that the Paramatma is also Krishna. It's an expansion of Krishna. So in that way, Krishna himself is absorbed in his pleasure pastimes. Krishna's vitya soul in Vrindavan is giving milk and butter to the monkeys. What can he do? What can he do? After all, in his last life, they did so much service for him. How can he not feed the monkeys? You see? So Krishna is absorbed in these pastimes and leaves certain things to his expansions, to Paramatma, to deal with the conditioned souls who somehow or other are guided alone. Da Suparna Sayuja Sakya, like two birds sitting on the branches of the tree, one eating the fruits and the other one witnessing and telling him, like, you know, no good,
not bad.
Upadrasta Anumanta, the overseer or the witness, Upadrasta, and Anumanta, the one who gives permission. All right, if you really wanted these material fruits, okay, what can I do? Go ahead. I'll remind you later. So, as the super soul, Krishna is looking at opportunities where the living beings are ready to hear, ready to listen. Then again, give some inspiration from within. Otherwise, it's just waiting. Nasyamya bhavasto, just waiting in the consciousness of the living being until the living being turns to him. That's Paramatma. But that's Krishna who expanded himself in that form. Yes.
Maharaj, the difference between trial and endeavor. For me, it was just seeing the try seems a once-off, mm-hmm. whereas the endeavor seems to be growing on top of the previous endeavor.
Okay. You want me to comment? well, yeah. It's definitely what we kind of meant, right? I mean, in the lecture I said try means you're not really doing and endeavor. Definitely in the case of Yasoda, that's what endeavor meant there. Whether in English it's always like that, in English language, I guess. Try and endeavor are sometimes interchangeable words. In the case of Yasoda and of our spiritual life, yes, we must endeavor. That's it. And we must, and that's why we're here tonight, you know, to get like some sort of inspiration to endeavor again. Because we have to refresh our commitment again and again. We're not like constantly equally motivated. So, you know, like, It's a struggle is like that you get that makes you tired and mentally exhausted from beating your head on the rock, you know, like in the material world. The constant struggle for existence, prakritisthani, karasati, the struggle to be a devotee can wear us out. So we have to constantly refresh ourselves. That. So part of the endeavor is that we become eager to for that nourishment. So So spiritual nourishment is a very important principle. Without it, there is no endeavor. As always, look again for new, fresh, you know, some fresh inspiration. And over time, you need more instead of less. See, in the beginning, you can do amazing austerities on relatively little nourishment, because you're nourished by this sense of frustration from material life that you had before. And then you've just taken up the right path of spiritual life, because you need incredible strength to just go on. And you see that new people with little nourishment can take on great austerities, and later we cannot. Later we really need the nourishment. And we need to realize more and more, I need spiritual nourishment. And that's a big thing, and we have to make something out of that. Ah, collect nectar, lots of it. We need to be happy. Nourishment means we need some happiness, you know. Every devotee needs to be happy, at least sometimes. We need to have some happy moments to remember, you know. I'm saying we do. In spiritual life, we need some happiness. We have to look for it. It's there. If you don't see it, it's to look better and search more, because it is there. And if we search enough for happiness, we'll get it. And that will keep us going. Okay, thank you very, very much. Yeah, time to go home.